is the blessings that you will find and the curses that you will find in Deuteronomy 28. In it, it explains what each thing means, because sometimes the, like, consumption and things like that, we don't understand what they mean. So this is an explanation of what they mean. The next sheet you have is the sheet of a dollar bill. On the dollar bill, there are inscriptions that, if you follow me along with it, everybody has the dollar bill. Over the head of the American Eagle is the Star of David. That's up here, the little stars that you see. The cloud above it represents the Shekinah glory of God. If you turn the banner upside down, you'll see the stripes on the banner form the menorah. That's right here. You see that? Yeah. And then in the American Revolution, soldiers had no clothes, shoes, or food, and Chaim Soloman, one of Washington's advisors, called for all Jewish people here and in Israel to donate millions of dollars. They did, and they donated for the revolution, and of course, you know, this changed the course of the war. The next sheet that you have are a list of the Kennedy curses. Now, we won't go into this today, but Joseph Kennedy started bootlegging alcohol into this nation when it was still a dry nation. And from this, all of this family have been cursed. Now, these curses only go on through page 2, and there they stop at 1998-99. So there are more curses added to it, but I haven't had access to them. This is all curses on one family from selling alcohol in the United States. The next sheet that you have is the things that open you up to curses. And we won't go into that, but you can follow that. There are two pages full of them that are things that could cause you to get into curses. The last page that you have is steps to release you from a curse. This I've given you so that you can take it home with you and you can read it at your leisure. Does anybody have any question? Okay, so now we're going to start on the blessings. The blessings come to us as a result of the blessing. The blessing, I have things because I am blessed. The blessings are God's nature, ability, and power. The blessing is a sign of God's special favor, and the blessings are the result of the blessing. Now, the blessing is the reason for the covenant. The reason God made covenant with Abraham was that Abraham could understand the blessings, what the blessings were about. God blesses by giving the blessings and the curses. He blesses us by giving us the blessings. We bless God. Now, we are to bless God. How are we to bless God? We bless God when we praise Him for His goodness. We thank Him for His benefits that He's given to us. When a father prays for his children by name, he is blessing the Lord. When we pray to Him, asking Him to bless others, we are blessing Him. God blessed Adam and Eve. He blessed Noah. And He blesses Abraham. And read, turn to Genesis 15. It's the first covenant that He made with Abraham. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abraham said, Behold, to me you have given no seed, and lo, no one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and he said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if you be able to number them. And he said, So shall your seed be. And he said unto him, Abraham believed in the Lord. Abraham believed him, and it counted unto him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur of Chaldees, to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, How shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Now this is where the covenant comes in. Verse 9, Take me a heifer. He's saying, Take for me, Abraham, you take for me. Now this is God talking. You take for me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know for sure, that your seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also, that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to your fathers in peace, they shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now those of you that know that Abraham died, and he went, of course, into the ground where his folks were buried. But his sons and his sons' sons, down to Jacob's son, Joseph, was the one that came out 430 years to the day he came out of Egypt. Now verse 17, And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace. A smoking furnace is always indicative of God. And a burning lamp is always indicative of Jesus that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, Unto thee, thy seed, have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites and the Canaanites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and they were all in that. Now you understand that this is the making of the covenant. He made the covenant with Abram so that Abraham could be blessed and understand what the blessing was about. Now go to Genesis 17. Verses 1 and 2. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine. He was 99. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be you perfect. Now, perfect does not mean without a flaw. Perfect means upright, sincere, right standing, doing what God would do. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now go to Genesis 22. Verses 17 and 18. That is, in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of your enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Abraham was very rich. He was rich in cattle, he was rich in sheep, he was rich in silver, he was rich in gold, he was rich in handmaids and servants. But he was blessed because of the blessing that was upon him. Now God said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. That curse still holds till today. We are getting blessed by Abraham's blessing. We are cursed to be rich and be wealthy and all this. So we can, if we can still receive a blessing, we can still receive a curse. And a curse will come into effect unless it is broken by the blood of Jesus and a lamb. Now, as a born-again person, you may not think that you have any curses on you. But you still do, because even though we can't be cursed in the New Testament, we can be cursed by others who can curse us. And we can receive curses from our grandparents or our great-grandparents back for several generations. So those curses have to be broken. Now Abraham was old, and he believed God, and he was blessed. Why was he blessed? Because he believed God, and he didn't hesitate as to his blessing. Romans 4:13. For the promise is that the heirs of the world was given to Abraham and his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Abraham did not receive his blessings because of walking in the law. He received his blessing by faith. We have to receive the blessings by faith as well. Verse 14. If that which by the law, the heir, the father, was made void, then the promise is of no effect. But the law curses and blessings do not come by the law, they come by the faith of Abraham. So God gave it to Abraham by promise. Now, turn to Luke 4:18. In Luke 4, Jesus is beginning his ministry. And he comes into the town, and he goes into the pastor's service, and they give him the Bible. He opens the Bible, and it falls to Isaiah 61. Luke 4:18 is Isaiah 61 in its entirety. So, the Spirit, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the anointing. This is the anointing that's on the blessing that Jesus is called to teach. So, God gave it to Abraham, and he received it how? By faith in the promise. The blessing is a promise received by faith of Abraham. The Old Testament, it's called the blessing. Old Testament calls it the blessing. New Testament calls it the anointing. There is always an exchange when in receiving the blessing. The blessing is always exchanged from God through obedience. The way we can always get the blessing is through obedience. Abraham didn't know God, but he knew he believed God and was accounted unto him for righteousness. The blessing is a sign of the special favor that is intended to result in the in prosperity and success. Glory is the presence of God. Glory, G-L-O-R-Y, is the manifested presence of God in answer to your speaking the word. If you don't speak the word, you will never get any glory. But the glory of God is his presence made known in result of your speaking the word. All the blessings are given for obedience without exception. Every blessing comes because of your obedience. If you are not obedient to the word, you are not going to receive any of the blessings. Leviticus 26, you don't have to turn there, but making note of it, Leviticus 26, verses 1 to 13 are the blessings for obedience. Leviticus 26, 14 to 16, 14 to 46 are the curses for disobedience. So even in Leviticus, he has the blessings and the curses. There are more than one place that the blessings are written. Leviticus, Deuteronomy 28, and several other places, Deuteronomy 27, are the blessings written for you to get them. The other scriptures you might write down are 1 Kings 6, verse 12. The three conditions of the blessing. The first one is, if you walk in my statutes, you receive a blessing. The second one is, execute, you carry out his judgments. The third one is, keep his commandments, then I will perform my word with you. So those three things are conditions that you must fulfill to receive the blessings. Exodus 19:5 is another scripture you might write down. And Exodus 23:22. First Kings 2:3 says, keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies as it is in the law of Moses. So that's what you want to do. Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the faith, the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature under heaven that Paul was a minister to. Now there are many times that men of God are blessed on a promised blessing on others. Men of God pray a blessing on others, and those are Psalm 115:12-18. David prayed a blessing on others. Ephesians 1:3. Paul, blessed by God's good fortune, blessed all others. Genesis 33:11. Jacob and Esau. Jacob said to Esau, take, I pray you, my blessing that is brought to you because God has dealt graciously with me and because I have enough. He urged him, and Esau took what he was given. Then we have men praying by God to bless others. And you all know the prayer of Jabez, 1 Chronicles 4:10, the prayer of Jabez. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my cross, and that your hand might be upon me to keep me from evil, to not grieve me. And God granted Jabez his prayer. Men and angels are commanded to bless God. So we have several people. We not only God blesses us, but we bless him. Men and angels are commanded to bless God. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, you that excel in strength, that do his commandments, awakening, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. So we are ordered to bless the Lord. Psalm 134, verses 1 to 3. Bless you, the Lord, you all his servants of the Lord, that by night in the house of the Lord. Men are ordered to bless God. We are to bless him. Psalm 16, verse 7. Psalm 26, verse 12. Psalm 63, verse 4. Psalm 103, 1 and 2. And you all know Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Now, God blesses in relationships. Luke 10, verses 30-35. The Good Samaritan is an example of God wanting to bless someone, though they were never blessed. We have the story of the Good Samaritan, the two priests who crossed the street. The Good Samaritan was overcome by robbers and left to lay in the street. Two priests came walking by, and they crossed to the other side of the street. Those priests knew God, but they didn't know. They knew about God, but they didn't know God. The Good Samaritan comes along, and he passes by on the side of the street where the man was. He washed his wounds. He dressed his wounds. He put him on a donkey, and he walked. He walked to the hotel. He paid the man and the hotel owner in advance, and he said, if you use any more money, if you spend any more money, I'll give it to you when I pass by this way again. So you see, he really had compassion on another, and that's what God does when he has compassion on us. Another example is the prodigal son. Luke 15, verses 11-32. The son left home. He asked, the father was a believer. The father had two sons. One son asked for the money that he was going to get when the father died. He asked for his inheritance early, and the father gave him his inheritance. He left home, and he went to another country. He spent all his money on prostitutes and loose living. He had no money left, and a drought came. So what he ended up doing was watching pigs and feeding pigs for the owner who owned them. Then he came to his senses and he thought, what am I doing here? My father's servants have more sense than I do. So he said, I know what I'll do. I'll go back home. I'll tell my father I'm sorry, and I will ask him to welcome me back into his house as a servant, not as a son. So the son goes home. But in the meantime, the father goes every day out, and he watches for his son to come home. Finally, he sees his son coming, and he runs, and he puts his arms around his son, and he hugs him. He's so glad to see him home. So the son says, Father, I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against God. Take me back as a servant. The father says, I'll take you back, but I'll take you back as my son. He gives him a robe. He gives him the slippers. He gives him everything he needs to signify that he has accepted the son as his own. So they're having a big party to welcome the son back. And the father goes out, and the other son comes in from the farm, running of the farm, and he says, why aren't you in with, we're having a party for your brother. Why don't you come in? He said, no. I have spent all this time with you, and you haven't ever given a party for me. You haven't ever done anything for me. And the father says, son, all that I have is yours. He had everything that was left. But the son never asked for a party or never asked for anything. And so the father didn't give it to him. So you see, the blessing comes, even though we don't deserve it, the blessing comes because God is willing to forgive. Now, the daughter of Abraham, in Luke 13, verses 10-16, the daughter of Abraham is one who is bent over. She's bent over and she can't straighten up. But Jesus says to her, daughter, thou art healed. And she straightens up immediately. He says, why has this daughter not been told that she's been healed? You have the blessing of God among you. The blessings of God are there for us to obey. The blessings are more than the sand that covers the sea. How many blessings are you claiming in your life today? Are you walking in the blessings? Are you claiming the blessing? Or are you walking past them, ignoring them, and not accepting them? Jesus was blessed by the Father. and so are we. We are blessed by the Father. God wants us to know, not just believe. He wants us to know Him, to know that we receive the blessings. Hebrews 6, verse 13 to 15. God made a promise to Abraham. He swore that his promises were the same. Surely in blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And after Abraham patiently endured, he obtained the promise. The blessing was a promise filled by the covenant. The blessing is God's empowerment to prosper. It's God's ability, His anointing, and His power. The blessing always comes in exchange for the obedience. Now, money is the medium of exchange in the world system. Everything is based on money. Obedience is the medium of exchange by God for the blessing in the kingdom of God. When we tithe, we give God an exchange that empowers us to be blessed. Blessing is the ability to be seen, but the fruit of it comes to those of our lives who believe. In Numbers 26 and 22 to 27, the Lord spoke to Moses to speak to Aaron for his seed, showing that they would be blessed. The Lord bless you, keep you, multiply you, and everything. Can we bless and curse at the same time? Yes, we can. James 3, verses 9 and 10. Turn there with me, please. We'll begin with verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude or likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either the olive, the vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So you see, we can bless God and we can curse man at the same time with the same tongue, not even realizing that we are doing it. The New Testament does not address blessings. It addresses the anointing. The Old Testament addresses curses and blessings. But you can still be cursed from previous generations. For example, a grandfather or a great-grandfather or five or six generations back could have been involved in fortune-telling. They could have been involved in water witching. How many of you know what water witching is? Water witching is, it's something that my dad was into and I didn't even know it when I got born again. But water witching is when you want to find out where water is on your property. And you take a branch that's shaped like a Y. You hold the two arms, which would be the Y, and you walk along with this branch. And where their water is, the branch dips down. That's called water witching. That's going to a supernatural event and not seeking God for where water is. So that things like that, that you may not even account, I had to break that curse because my dad paid attention to it. It wasn't anything I knew, but yet I realized that it was water witching, and that was a curse. We are told to bless those that curse us. Blessed bless those that curse you. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. All who cursed Abraham's seed were cursed. All who blessed Abraham's seed were blessed. The curses and the blessings started way back then. In 1 Peter 3, 9, we're going to give blessing for evil railings in your... In 1 Peter 3, 9, he says, give blessings for all evil railings so we can, in our, you who hear in your heart, you can receive a blessing or a curse. Now, it's always your choice. Deuteronomy 30:19 is an important scripture. Turn there with me, please. You notice that it says, I, meaning God. God calls heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. I want you to go back to verse 19 and follow with me. God says, he's calling heaven and earth to make a record of your choice. So if you choose blessing and life, you're choosing heaven to move at your disposal. But if you choose curses and blessing, you're choosing earth to record. Now, who records on earth? The God of this earth. Satan is the God of this earth. And he records your choices, blessing or curses. If they're a curse, Satan moves on your life. He records it and he writes it down. He doesn't move right away. For example, you will say, you've been shopping, you say, oh, my feet are killing me. Mm-hmm. You say that in jest, but Satan will write it down. Mm-hmm. And many years later, perhaps many years later, maybe not so many years later, your feet will start to bother you, and you will have, or your back, or whatever. Because you see, we take the words that we say lightly. Satan does not take anything lightly, and neither does God. They take everything at the point of what you are saying. So that you may not even mean that your feet are killing you. Of course your feet aren't killing you. And of course you don't drop dead right away, because if you did, it wouldn't take us very long to realize that our words mean something. But this is true. You have to realize and begin to watch your words. Because this scripture is one that I would encourage all of you to memorize, because he is taking your words seriously, as is God. Amen. Conditions must be met to receive the benefits of the covenant. The promise is that no blessings of the law or grace you can receive maintaining God's blessing. Psalm 132, verse 12 says, if your children keep my covenant and my testimony, then I shall teach them the children. I shall teach them. God will teach them. But we have to have our part. We have to obey in the covenant. Now, how do you bless the Lord? 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 to 13. Turn there, please. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of you. You reign over all, and in your hand is power and might. And in your hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Now, I had a church in Burton at one time, and we used to say this when we were going to take the offering. You know how they usually have a man get up and say something about blessed are those who give. We would say this every time before we took the offering. It was good to bless the Lord. Now we do according to in Deuteronomy when we don't bless the Lord, but we say there's a prayer that the Lord gives us in Deuteronomy 26, and we say that before the blessing. That's all I have for the blessings. But now, does anybody have any questions about the blessings? Okay, then we'll go on into curses. Deuteronomy 30:19. That's the scripture that we read. Two things are in front of you for your future: blessing and life, cursing and death. And you are the deciding factor which one you will receive. A curse does not come upon you without some broken bridge or sin in your life. Proverbs 26:2. As a bird wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. There always has to be a cause for a curse to stay in your life. Proverbs 6:2. You are snared with the words of your mouth. You are taken with the words of your mouth. Your own words curse you. Malachi 3:8-9. Turn there with me. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough for you to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I don't know whether you tithe, whether you give, whether you don't, but according to this, you have to tithe to receive the blessing. Because if you do not tithe, you are cursed. You do not give unto God until you tithe. After the tithe belongs to God. After you tithe, then whatever you give over your tithe is considered giving. And there are several ways of giving. You tithe, you give. You give to the Lord. You give to the Lord for the needs of a house, which they did in the Old Testament. You give alms. You give to the poor. You give clothing. You give food. You give whatever. All of those other things are giving in addition to tithing. So it's important, if you are not tithing, that you do. And I'll tell you one thing. God will make the 9/10 go as far as the 10/10 go. A curse without a curse shall not alight. A curse with a cause shall not alight. Behind every curse, there is a cause. Once it is apparent that you have found the cause, then you have found out where you're opening your life for that curse to come in. Then you search for the cause. Once you find it, you take authority over it and you command it to go. But you have to command it to go if you are doing the other things. Jesus had to be made a curse for us so that we could be redeemed. It's all because of Jesus that you are even here. It's all because of Jesus that you are redeemed from the curse. Deuteronomy 21:22. If a man, now these are some things that God wrote in his word. If a man has committed sin worthy of death and he be put to death, you shall hang him on a tree. This is why Jesus was hung on a tree, because he had committed the sin. His body shall not remain all night, but it shall be taken down the same day. In any wise, bury him that same day, for he that is hanged is accursed. Jesus was accursed. He was hung on a tree. He had to be taken down the same day. He had to be buried the same day. So he has redeemed us from the curse. We are not under the curse. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He took every sickness and every disease into his own body for you and for me. He took every sin and he hung it on the cross with his body so that we wouldn't have to. Jesus did all of that for you and I. I'm going to give you some example of curses. 2 Samuel 1:21. David is mourning Saul and Jonathan after they've been killed. And David puts a curse on Mount Gilboa. He says, "Let there be no rain, let there be no dew, neither no rain upon you, for the shield of the mighty is cast away." That means the shield of Saul was cast away. And Saul had not answered. The Jewish people have tried planting trees on Mount Gilboa and nothing will grow. That's to this day. Nothing grows.
Wow.
Joshua 6, verse 26. Joshua put a curse on Jericho. And this is very interesting. Joshua 6:26. Joshua put a curse on Jericho. Cursed be the man before the Lord that rises up and builds Jericho. Now 500 years later, in 1 Kings 16:39, Hiel, a Bethelite, decided to rebuild Jericho. His first son, Abimam, suddenly died. His second son, Segub, died, and then he stopped building the city. That was 500 years ago. The curse was allowed to continue. More recently, another man decided to build Jericho, and that man had built the city, and his first son died unexpectedly. He died suddenly for no reason. He stopped building the city. This is recently. This is all these years later. A curse is allowed to continue. Then we have Joshua 9. The Gibeonites deceived Joshua into thinking that they were a faraway community. They wanted to be saved and didn't want to be destroyed because they heard that the Lord was destroying all the tribes around them. So the Gibeonites took a donkey, took fresh bread or took stale bread, and took old shoes, old clothes, and they brought them to Joshua. They came to Joshua and they said, "We've come from far away. Look at the bread that we had was fresh. Our shoes were not worn out. Our clothes were not worn out. And it's taken us all this time to reach you." Joshua did not seek the Lord on what they should do. But the men of the tribe, the leaders of the tribes, got together and they voted that yes, and they made a covenant before God that they would save the men. They would be water hewers, they would be woodcutters in the temple of the Lord, but they would not put them to death. So then a few days after they made the agreement, Joshua found out the truth that they were a neighboring community. And he said to them, "Why did you lie to me? Now a curse is put upon you, and you are cursed to be woodcutters and water hewers that all the rest of the days of your life." So years later, Saul killed the Gibeonites. There was a famine in the land. And the third year, David sought the Lord as to why they had the famine. And the God said it is because of Saul and what he has done to the Gibeonites. So David went to the Gibeonites and he said, "What can I do to stop this curse?" They said, "We don't want silver and gold. Give us the 7 sons of Saul. We'll hang them, and the curse will be broken." And they did. Now you can find that in 2 Samuel 21:11. Pharaoh's armies killed the Jewish boy babies. And what happened to Pharaoh's armies? They were all drowned. This is one that's very important and will maybe hit home. Genesis 31:32. Jacob cursed Rachel. Rachel's dad, Laban, followed them when Jacob took his 2 wives. He followed them, but he didn't know that Rachel had taken his gods, his little gods that he took, and she hid them where she sat. So Jacob says to Laban, he said to Laban, "With whomsoever you find your gods, let him not live before you." Jacob did not know that Rachel had taken the gods. But in Genesis 35, verses 16 to 19, Rachel died in childbirth when she was having Benjamin. So Jacob, even though he loved Rachel more than he loved Leah, put a curse on Rachel and she died. He didn't know that he put a curse on her, but what does that do to us? To think twice about what we're saying about a loved one. We can curse them without really them even knowing it. Jeremiah 11:2. Jeremiah was told to speak the words to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, and he did. Now the root cause of all curses are you hear and do not obey the word. We live in 2 dimensions. We live in the dimension of blessings, and we live in the dimension of curses. The medical field deals with physical problems. The Bible field deals with the reasons for the physical problems. The Bible says all problems are spiritual. Yes. And they are. Once a blessing or curse has been spoken into existence, it cannot be broken except by the blood of Jesus and his name. No one can take away a blessing without you knowing it. Nobody can take a blessing away from you without you knowing it, but they can put a curse on you without you knowing it. Matthew 26:74. Peter is cursing Jesus 3 times. He said, "I don't know him, I never knew him." So then in John 25:15-18, Jesus has Peter say 3 times, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." This was to reverse the curse. Jesus did it to reverse the curse. Matthew 12:29. We are told to bind the strong man and spoil his goods. Satan is the strong man. He can come, he can kill, he can steal, and he can destroy. That's John 10:10. But you break the curse which the strong man has put upon you, And you take that back. You take that back. A curse on your life gives the devil the legal right to destroy you. As long as he has a legal right, he will take it. Legal rights must be broken to stop. When you become stronger than the one holding you, then you are stronger than he, and you can break that curse with the blood of Jesus and his name. Mark 12:43. The unclean spirit, now this is important, the unclean spirit goes out of a man. Turn there. Mark 12:43. It's a scripture where Jesus said that you curse the strong man, you curse Satan. 12:43. Well, we'll go with that. It's the curse when an unclean spirit has gone out of the man and he walks through the dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house, the spirit that he was cast out of, from when I came out of, and when he has come, he finds it empty, swept. What scripture is it?
Matthew?
12:43.
Matthew 12:43.
Okay. Thank you very much. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through the dry places seeking rest and can find none. When you are casting out a demon spirit, if you are ever in that position, you do not send them anywhere. You don't send them back to hell. You send them into the dry places where they walk around. Then that the unclean spirit says, I will return unto my house. This is his house that he is being cast out of. He is considering it his own house, from whence I came out. When he has come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. It is empty. It doesn't have anything in it. Then he goes. He takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in, and the last place of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be into this, and the last two words are very important, wicked generation. This wicked generation. This was written for us. It's really to realize that if you have a demon spirit, he's going to come out of that house when he's been cast out. He'll search around for a while. If that house isn't filled with the Word and with the Word of God, that it's empty, it's garnished, it's swept, it's waiting for him to come back. He comes back and brings seven more, worse than himself, with it. Those seven more make the man in a worse condition than he was before. Now, we don't take too much stock to this scripture, but we should, because it's a very important scripture. They're all important, but this is very important that we realize that a demon spirit is going to come out of a person and go wander around, want to go back in, and he will go back in if he is not cast out. It's a warning, really, for us in the New Testament. When a curse is on a life, the devil can legally have a hold on that life. Legality is broken when you become stronger than the one that is in you. When you become stronger than that demon spirit in you, and you become stronger in the name of Jesus and with his blood, and that's the only way that you can defeat the enemy. Blessing and curses are opposite, but both are very real. Both come by words. They come by words spoken, by words uttered, by words inwardly, and by chance. Blessings come from God, and they produce good things. Curses come from Satan and produce bad things. Once they are released, both can continue until they are broken by the blood of Jesus and his name. Genesis 12:3. I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. Notice in that scripture, he says, I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. Two different people, them and him. The blessings are pronounced to Abraham 4,000 years ago, and they are still in effect for today. You are still receiving the blessings of Abraham every day. You can still receive the curses. Blessed appear 430 times in the Word. Curses appear 160 times. Both are very real. A curse can follow you until it's broken. 2 Kings 5:27, Elisha curses Gehazi when he says, where did you go, Gehazi? When Gehazi followed him after blessing Naaman, Gehazi went to Naaman. He stopped him and he said, my master needs a change of clothes and 10 pieces of silver. And so he says to him, where did you go, Gehazi? I didn't go anywhere. He said, yes, you did. Did not my heart go with you? Is this a time to get goods from people for doing the God's work? No, it's not the time. And so you will be cursed with the leprosy that was on Naaman. And from that time on, Gehazi was cursed with a curse of Naaman. All because he didn't tell the truth. He lied, he was greedy, and he did what he wanted to do. We don't see curses in the New Testament because we are believers. But the warning is still there for a reason. The reason is there that we are not to succumb to it. We are not called by God because we believe. We are called by God because we trust him. Matthew 5:44 says, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you. Luke 6:27-28. I said to which here, love your enemies? The difference between Matthew and Luke is Luke adds which here. Matthew says, love your enemies. Luke says, I say to you, which here? Love your enemies. So a lot of times we hear things, but we don't want to hear them, or we don't really hear them. We glance over them and we pass by them. Romans 12:14. Bless those which persecute you and curse not. Christian is not to curse, but they can be cursed. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It's human nature that we have two strong cravings. One is the desire for knowledge because of the situation of that knowledge can be filled by natural man and by man sources. And the second reason is power, the desire for power, the desire to go beyond and seek supernatural things. We seek them in three ways: by witchcraft, by divination, and by sorcery. Witchcraft is the power branch. It manipulates, it intimidates, and it dominates. And the final recourse is to dominate. Sorcery is obtained by outer circumstances: fortune telling, astrology, divining, cards, horoscopes, mind reading. It is knowledge by an evil spirit. Sorcery is obtained by material objects: drugs, music, chanting, devils. The first two conditions can be overcome by the occult. I'm sorry, the first two commandments cover every area of the occult. The first two commandments cover every area of the occult. Most demons, negative thoughts come from the enemy. Negative thoughts, when you have them I don't mean if you have a negative thought now and then. Everybody has negative thoughts. But if you have them on a consistent level and see the negative thing in everything, most often likely it is from the enemy. Then a demon's weapons are spiritual. The demons are spiritual. We are spiritual. Remember, the blessings and curses are spiritual. We receive them spiritually. We receive the word of God spiritually. We receive the things of God spiritually. Our spirit man receives them. This is why the natural man cannot understand the things of the word. The natural man reads the word and he says, I don't understand what the word is saying, because he's understanding it with his natural ability. Because we are spiritual, we understand it spiritually, and it becomes much more obtained to us. A curse is like a dark shadow, an evil hand that passes and holds on to it. It'll drag us back. In other words, you will go so far in something. You're progressing along in your whatever it is. You're progressing along in it as a Christian, and you go so far and you fall. You get back up, you start again, you go so far and you fall. What is the reason for that? The reason is more than likely a curse in your life, stopping you from going on. Therefore, you have to take authority over it. Curses are individual forces to determine your destiny. Mm-hmm. They determine your destiny. Both are scriptural, and both were with the patriarchs for 4,000 years. Satan can bless, but Satan cannot bless, but he can curse. Situations and circumstances, things above and below, are the temperaments, can be a trauma or come back to you. Oops. Curses can be transmitted through physical objects. They can be transmitted through clothing, through idols, through artifacts. Can a Christian pronounce a curse? Yes. To curse one man means to call evil down upon them. Cause them not to prosper. That will cause an curse. To speak doom on them, or something like that. To pray against something or someone is a curse. And two words in the English mean curse. The first word is imprecate. imprecate. That means to call down a calamity. The second word is anathematize. 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 M-A-T-I-Z-E. That means familiar speaking, you call down condemnation or evil upon someone. The power of your words gives you the authority to either bless or curse someone. James 3:8-12, we already did that. Deuteronomy 28 gives the curses. Now, I want you to get your words, your Satan is defeated book out. And on page 21, there's a word to say for your children. I'm not going to go over these. I'm going to go over these with you briefly, but I am giving you each the Satan is defeated book that you may take it home, because what I have told you today will help with what you have to say, what you have said, what you're going to say about someone else, especially with what you have already said. So go over that. Go over. Ask the Lord to show you where you have cursed someone. Unknowingly, you've done it. You can do it unknowingly. Jacob did it for Rachel, unknowingly. So you can do things like that without knowing it. So in the quiet time of your house, seek the Lord. Do what, and when he shows you where you have cursed someone, break those curses. So the first one is for your children on verse 21, page 21. For divine direction, page 21, and then it goes on. Then on page 22, when someone does something against you or yours, what you do with it. Then you go to the back of the book on page 29. What do I do to protect myself? You take no part in those things which are evil. If you have, and how many of you read the horoscopes? Wrong. You don't want to read the horoscopes. Go to fortune tellers, go to tarot cards. Any of those things are wrong. So if you have done any of those things, and on that sheet that I have given you are the two pages full of what can cause a curse to come, go over those and go over them, and then do the scripture. The self-protection, page 29. What do I do to protect myself? Take no part in those things which are evil. If you have, repent and close the door to the enemy. You have the blood of Jesus, the power of his name, and the authority to use them if you have accepted Jesus to be your Lord. Now, everybody in here has accepted Jesus to be your Lord. Therefore, you have the power and you have the authority. You have the power in the word. You have the power of his name. And you have the authority to use the word. If you don't use it, no one else is going to do it for you. You must do it yourself. Relationships. Regarding relationships that you have broken, do those curses. And on page 30, gives you the prayer that you can really say. You also notice there's something on fear. You do not have to fear. Fear is not built into any one of us. We do not have to have the spirit of fear. There isn't any of this. A little bit of fear will do you some good. No fear will do you any good. No fear whatsoever. You have nothing to fear. You're a child of the King. You're a child of God. You're a child of the Most High God. Use that authority. Use that and take authority over the enemy. Then on page 31, you have your prayer of authority over Satan. Excuse me. Page 32, you have renouncing, breaking, loosing yourself and loved ones from demonic subjection. Now, you might want to do this because many of you have young folks in your house. If those young folks drink, If those young folks curse or do anything, and a lot of them are into drugs, take this and use it against it, against them. Then you have page 34, claiming deliverance of a loved one from Satan's strongholds. Any hold that Satan has over your loved one is a stronghold. They may not know it. In fact, you can have Christians who serve the Lord and who go so far and then drop back into drugs because that's what they were into. Start all over again, drop back into drugs. Take that authority and use it over the evil one. You break evil soul ties, page 35. Page 36. Now, you don't do this one time. You take authority over it and you do it daily. You may say, I don't have time. It's up to you. Do you want your loved one delivered or not? Prayer closing the door to satanic activity. You take that prayer and use it. That's on page 36. Spiritual warfare for a loved one in bondage. And the other pages are what opens a door to satanic activity and so forth. It's an explanation of the things that are going on in your life. And the terminology is important. If there's something you don't understand about the demonic terminology, then that's what you use. So there I have given you a crash course on curses and blessings and what to do about them. Does anybody have any questions?
Can you repeat what you said earlier about physical sickness and disease?
Money is the term that the money is the medium that the world uses. A sickness and disease is caused by it's a spiritual cause.
Yes.
In the front of the book, it gives you some scriptures and everything, but it tells you, page 5 gives you, I am defeated when? The things that help to defeat you. I am defeated when I have disobeyed the word, when I refuse to walk in love, when I do not forgive. I look at my present situations and circumstances instead of the word. I see things the way they are and not with my eye of faith. I speak what I think, see, hear, or feel, not what the word says, and that is important. I stop speaking the word. I speak contrary to the word. I pray or say with doubt in my heart instead of faith. I give up, back away, or speak defeat. I do not know what the word says about my situation. If you don't know what the word says about your situation, go to the word works or go to the word. The word works is written to save you from getting into the word and searching it out. It's just scriptures to help you believe that you receive. I forget my fight now is to keep what he has given me. Your battle is not to gain something, it's to hold on to what you have had, what you have. For example, a person who is sick is battling to keep his healing. He's not battling to get his healing. He's battling to keep it. I do not believe I overcome by the blood of Jesus. You have to believe that or it all is in vain. I do not remember or think that the things in my life that are not good and perfect are not from God. I do not realize, I do not know who I am and what I have in Jesus. I do not recognize that Satan is trying to steal, kill, and destroy me. Anything in your life that is not good and is not perfect is not from God. James 1 tells us that. We think that these things, I think this is something I'm going through because God sent. God does not send anything like that upon you. It is the enemy, and you are being deceived into thinking that. So take authority over it and get it back to where you belong. I do not recognize that Satan is trying to steal, kill, or destroy. I do not keep speaking this word to keep the victory. Now, all those things are to help us. They are to help you grow in the Lord. and become accustomed to what you have been letting go to the enemy. Is there anything that anybody has a question about?
Did that answer the